Fair Catch, a podcast about all things DFA football. Let's go! I'm your host, Rich Abdoyan, and I'm here with our most acclaimed football analyst, Andrew Manganiello, better known as Mags. Mags, where do you think we should open up this episode?
I think we're going to start right where we should, in the AFC East, repping my green and white New York Jets and the rest of the AFC East.
As two East Coast guys, two Northeast guys, we're going to have to start there. It makes a lot of sense. The Jets, I pulled up their stats. It's not looking good early. Let's see, they're 0-2. They had their first game against my Bills. Lifelong Bills fan here, Bills Mafia. I thought the Bills were going to give this one up early. They went into the half down, I think, 17-3. There are some issues with the Bills. We'll get to that in a minute. The Jets, though, they found a way to literally throw up on themselves in the second half. They threw two picks, fumble, gave up defensive touchdown after defensive touchdown, and squandered this one away. It really was like watching the real Jets. What were you thinking about when you were watching that?
You know, it's funny how the DFA League mimics real life, right? You have the Jets, they're turning the ball over, and they're losing. We also have a quarterback at the helm that does not know what he's doing. Welcome to my life, right? It's absolutely perfect. It's fantastic.
It's amazing that they go from Darnold in real life, who, you know, the fan base doesn't know if this guy's the guy, and they go out and get a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, who everyone in Chicago is telling you he's not the guy. So it's almost like you took a step backwards from where you were in real life in the digital world. And we really thought that this might be an opportunity for these franchises that were, you know, kicked off to the side for generations, it seems like, to kind of move up the rung. It seems like the opposite.
No, the Jets, basically Trubisky had my hope. He fumbled it. And somebody ran it back for a touchdown. That's basically what had happened here and what we're having with the Jets through the first two games of the year.
It's amazing as well. I don't know if you saw this the selection on the draft day. But when I saw their cornerbacks, I thought, you know, their statistics looked okay. Their careers looked pretty good. And then I saw Mike Evans literally light them up on Sunday, right? He took them to the woodshed, and I thought, man, this guy is just getting open a lot. And then I pull up the stats, and I realize that Mike Evans had almost an entire foot advantage over the 5'8 and 5'9 cornerbacks for the Jets. I don't know what you thought about getting two cornerbacks that both are underneath 5'10, but that's what they're working with this season.
No, clearly the Jets secondary is going to be an issue. You have Mike Evans, who's an absolute beast on an average-sized person. You put them put him against two guys that are basically 5'8", 5'9", it's like throwing over two bar stools, right? They're not doing their job. That's going to be an issue for them going forward. It's not looking good on that side of the ball either for the Jets.
If you move over, though, to New England, you find a different story. Their team is more put together, and they found themselves in what I consider to be the game of the week for week one. I really thought New England out of this division would be the team to beat. They took on the Steelers, who, you know, I don't know what you see, but I see the Steelers as one of the best teams in all of DFA. They took on New England. Again, they were actually losing at the half as well, came back to win this game. That actually wasn't the most interesting thing out of this storyline that I saw. The most interesting thing that I saw was the fact that the New England staff, the people up in the booth, left their mics on. I listened to an entire hour-long broadcast of what they think they should be doing with their own players. It has to be the complete opposite of what New England has done for their entire organization so far, which is not tell anyone anything. So I'm listening to this, and I'm hearing, you know, we really need a D-end. We got to make some moves here on the defense. You know, this guy was written off. I'm really glad we picked this guy. I mean, I hope no one goes back and actually listens to this, or else they might have an upper hand in the trading of where this guy might be.
I mean, I hope they do that. I hope the other GMs were listening to that. If you were trying to think of guys that maybe you should trade for, I got a guy you should talk to. And I'm hoping that we can bring him in here. and he can actually, you know, tell us what he was thinking when he was going through that, because I want to pick this guy's brain. And it cannot happen to a better team. It happened to the Patriots. I'm a happy guy when I woke up and I heard that news this morning.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to be happy about with the Jets, but this is definitely one of them. But then I wonder, are they the smartest ones in the room? Are they actually putting this out there as fodder, as information that they, like, people like us are going, oh, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. He goes, I know exactly what I'm doing. So I'm the Fox,
so you
right?
think Bill Belichick is the owner of this team? Is that what you're
telling me? I'm just saying it could be that he has some type of tie-in with the New England ownership.
We're going to get this guy on the line. We're going to get him in here the next couple episodes. We need this guy. I need to talk to him.
It was a ballsy play either way, though. I'll tell you that. But the real takeaway at the end of the day, though, were the Steelers, right? They win this game. They've actually won in week two because apparently every week is played within a 12-hour period, it seems like, right? This league is lightning fast. So for us to keep up, we're going to have to keep moving. And one of the things that the Steelers had that was probably the only negative so far to their season is McCaffrey is out right now. He was injured in that first game. Good news is that this team drafted better than everyone else, and they picked Eckler as their backup running back. Seems like a quite serviceable person to roll with out of the gate, let alone as your backup, who now finds himself in the number one role. What are your thoughts about Eckler carrying the rock for this team?
I like Eckler. He's just so versatile. He can catch. He can run. He's a great player to have. The Steelers are going to be really good. I'm excited about this division because I also think the Ravens are just as good, if not better. And I think that this may be the best division that we have in the league this year and also for the next few years coming up.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the AFC North is probably the strongest part of the conference, if you really look at it. The Ravens, let's see, Luck comes out of retirement just to play for the Ravens. So that's a really, I mean, look, you're off to a hot start already if you're convincing a guy who has a lacerated kidney to say, hey, you know what, let's lace him back up. He takes Connor, who I thought was a great selection. He's got Adams and Cook. So he's got some options here on offense, and I really like Hybe. I think that he's a great tight end. Might be the best offense in the league. They actually tied their first game, so we'll see how that all breaks out. Like we just talked about the Steelers, we really like what they have going on. I think that that's going to be a dynamic team. The interesting team, though, to me in the AFC North is what was one of these teams, right? There were a couple of teams that went and said, we're trying to win now. Not just now, I mean like immediately. We're not going to be trying to get as much talent for the next 3-5 years. We're trying to get the vets, the guys that can get us over the hump right now. How do you feel about the Bengals selecting 27 guys 30 or older? I mean, I looked at this roster. I was like, wait, that can't be another tally for a guy over 30. This is just, I mean, I don't know if these guys can even run with the other guys, can they?
You know, this year, and like you said, this is a win-now team. They better win this year or next year, because after that, they're going to be retiring together. Contracts are going to start expiring together. If there was ever a win-now situation, the Cincinnati Bengals have themselves. And it's funny because as a Cincinnati Bengals team, when was the last time you heard them say that we're a win-now team? So it is funny how that kind of worked out in this scenario here.
Well, it is interesting to say that they might be going the opposite of win now, but currently it is lose now, right? Because they are 0-1 currently. And that brings us to another team who is struggling in that same category of, you would think by their roster, they are win now type teams. And Tampa is definitely that to me. Tampa, you have Breeze, you have players on that offense that are ready to rock and roll, but they find themselves at 0-2. I was surprised. And it really does start with Breeze, oddly enough, who is one of the best quarterbacks statistically. I know he's at the end of his career. I know he's 40 years old. But the idea that through two games, he's only thrown 256 yards and 5 picks. I don't know if they have the wrong playbook. I don't know if they have the wrong coaching, making calls. I don't know if Breeze's arm has fallen off. I don't know exactly what's happening there. But something isn't going right in Tampa, and they better figure it out, because half the team from Tampa and the Bengals are actually going to be in nursing homes the way this is going because of how old they are.
And what's funny is that Breeze, he has guys to throw to. It's not like he doesn't have options. So I was right there with you. I was very surprised that it worked out the way it did for him.
Yeah, Lockett, Allen, you're looking at Fournette out of the backfield and Doyle as the tight end. You got to think that they got to put up together some type of offense, and some changes need to be made down in Tampa. I mean, Tampa and the Bengals really can't afford to be making anything like this as a mistake, or else they're going to start dumping talent like immediately and try and put one of these guys into a playoff race, because they are so depleted on the youth side of it that they're going to need to get back picks. They're going to need to get back players if need be, and try and get some of these vets into some of these teams that have holes. But Breece might not even be worth it if, again, he's 40 years old. He's got 5 picks to start the season. He has to turn it around for this team, or else, you know, they might be going nowhere quickly.
That offensive line definitely needs some help. I mean, we can't stress this enough. Those are 40-year-old bones on Drew Breece, right? So he can only take so much of a pounding. I'm sure Drew Breece is not a happy camper right now. I assume that this GM should be calling the Patriots, because we know what the Patriots need at this point. So
we do know exactly what the Patriots need, and everyone does as well. You just look that one up, and we got it. The interesting thing, though, is that there is a team in the NFC that is going the opposite direction, and that was in a game that I had highlighted yesterday as one of the games to look for, and that was the Dallas Cowboys versus the New York Giants. A classic matchup between two teams, right? And now two franchises, and one obviously better than the other as it comes out from that game. And it didn't look like that way in the first half, right? The Giants were actually ahead in the first half of that game. Dallas, is their calling card is the defense. The defense that they have might be, and listen, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I honestly believe Dallas's defense is the best in the whole league, bar none. That defense can straight up play. They showed it in the preseason, but they really showed it against the Giants. But in the first half, they gave up points and they gave up yards. They gave them actually some big plays, but they did hold them in the red zone. I think it was a 14-10 score at the half or something close to that. And then it was a completely turn of the tides in the second half. The problem for the Giants, and this will be the problem the entire year, is Jameis Winston. It's the problem for every team that he's on. Jameis is Jameis's biggest problem, and he pulled a Jameis in the second half of that game with pick after pick after pick, giving that game back to Dallas. And listen, Dallas's offense got it rolling, but Winston, there was no points after the first half, and he's throwing multiple picks and can't move the ball. That was just game over at that point for the Giants.
I think he actually came out and threw a pick on the first play of the game,
you're actually
not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he did. He threw it on the first play of the game, but then he did get rolling. He had a couple of big bombs down the line. He hit Diggs for, I think it was a 44-yarder, and he also hit Grant. It looked like a 20-yard pass, and Grant put a move.
That was some move.
Yeah, right. He put a move on that D-back, and he was gone, right? He actually scored a touchdown off of that. You take away those two huge plays, though, from Giants offense, Dallas D was on lockdown all game.
It was, and they definitely carried that rookie a little bit. Once they were able to make some plays, Burrow got his feet under himself, and he had the confidence at that point too. So the Dallas D showed up, and if the Dallas D shows up, they're going to be in every game. And if Burrow is able to play and have the confidence, they're going to be able to win a lot of games as well.
Well, that was really the difference maker in the second half, right? Because Dallas's D is so strong that you wonder about how much could really be put into that offense. And the steal of the draft might have been getting Burrow so late in that draft. As Burrow comes out in the second half and torches the Giants defense, he put up the second most yards on week one, 293 yards, doesn't get a touchdown. A couple of guys stepped out of bounds right at the one. But I'll tell you, that was some performance in the second half by Burrow. I'm impressed what I've seen out of the first year play caller. It's something to say, like, if he can actually be the guy and they can progress. Look, he's got Carson in the backfield. He's got some players on the outside. He's got McLaurin, and he's got who are the other wide receivers that they have? They have Sammy Watkins, right? So they have both those guys on the outside, and they have Reed at the tight end spot. If his play can improve, Dallas can be someone to really look at as possibly coming out of the NFC. And it's no surprise that this team was built by the godfather of the league himself, Derek Adams.
The godfather.
Yeah, and look, he's living up to the hype right now. He might be one of the best teams, and that defense is extremely strong, right? Mm-hmm. So, and the odd thing, though, too, is that I don't know how Derek got this into the game, but his team pulled off a play in that third quarter that flipped the entire game on its head. It's fourth and one from the 45-yard line, and they call a fake field goal with the kicker throwing an out route to I don't even know who on fourth and one. And that completion turned the whole game, and the Giants take over at that point.
What was actually very surprising with that play call is that the offense was pretty conservative up until that point. And all of a sudden, you have this trickery that comes out. I jumped off the couch watching it. And after that, that really kind of was the turning point in the game. The Cowboys didn't really look back after that. That was some call.
It was money in the bank after that point. And now I wonder what is more of a surprise in week one. Is it Burrow throwing for 293, or is it Rivers at the other end of the spectrum being that old, throwing for 331? And I honestly think I was more surprised at Burrow, because Rivers, if you think about it, that's his calling card. The guy can chuck the ball. He's chucked the ball his whole career. It's just for what, right? What does it actually come out to be at the end of the day? Because somehow they find a way to lose and become a average team. So I was actually more surprised at Burrow.
I agree with that. I mean, Rivers, I believe Rivers is going to get it done this year. He might get it done next year as well. It's the years after that that I'm a little bit concerned about. But yes, it was a phenomenal, play from the rookie.
So you think actually that Rivers can stick around in this league more than 1 year? You think that this team has Rivers beyond just a 1 year, lease him and, he moves on? You think that he can actually play in this league for two?
I think that he can, and I think that he can play at a high level for the next 2 years. It's after that, years 3, 4, and 5, that have me concerned.
There are some teams that are made up, of, like we talked about, a lot of talent. Some of them are mixes of talent like Dallas. Some of them are, hey, win now teams like the teams that we've already talked about, like the Bengals or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There are a couple of teams, though, that, when we went through the draft, we highlighted two of them. And we thought to ourselves, have they just built something from a draft to actually completely rebuild? Because I'm looking for the talent, and it's really hard to find. And those two teams are the Eagles and the 49ers. The Eagles, I look at their roster and I go, I don't know how they're going to compete with the other three teams in this division. And they got shelled week one. They got absolutely shelled by the Redskins. The 49ers, though, on the other hand, they pulled the upset over Tampa. They're one of the worst teams in the league, from what I can tell. A lot of people agree. I've gone around the league. I've asked other owners, talked to other GMs. A lot of people are saying, hey, you know what? The 49ers, I don't think there's a lot of talent on that roster. Surprisingly, though, they pull the upset. And this team is owned by Uri, right? The other co-owner of Gamer Huddle. Now, I don't know if he has KGB connections, Russian hackers that are getting involved in making this team somehow competitive on the digital landscape, because what I'm seeing on paper and in practice, it's not looking good, but somehow they find themselves at 1-0.
And I think they have Josh Allen at the helm, who is an incredible fantasy quarterback. I don't know how he's going to do in this DFA league here. And then I went through the rest of the roster, And like you were saying, there's not a whole lot of guys that stand out. So I completely agree with you. I don't know if he put this on auto draft when they were drafting. If he was, maybe he went to sleep when the draft was going on, because it doesn't look good for them going forward.
I think the KGB need to go back here and really think about what they're going to be doing here, because look, they also have a lot of young players, right? Both teams. The Eagles, I don't think they have a player over the age of 23, which is amazing, because the Bengals don't have a player younger than 33. But what I will tell you is that the question mark that I've asked myself is, if you're the owner of the 49ers or the Eagles, what are you doing in the draft coming up this year? What are you doing with your picks? Because if you think about it, right, your team is young at every position. They have no experience. Why do you need a draft pick? Are you going to try and get younger talent than 21-year-olds? Are you going to try and bring in younger talent like to groom? Instead, I wonder if these teams, specifically these two teams, are going to be shopping their picks early, especially if they sell off early, right? If they are 1-4, they are 2-6, right? If they are a number that is saying, hey, you know what? We're going to be towards the bottom of the league. My team is extremely, not there yet, right? Do you go out and get a 28-year-old that is actually a star somewhere, but you're giving up picks to a different franchise? Or if somehow the 49ers can make a move, because if they are 1-0, I mean, maybe we have it wrong. Maybe they're going to actually make a move. It's highly unlikely, right? But I wonder what you do with that capital at draft time when you know that your team is already loaded on that side of it and you're lacking experience.
Yeah, it's actually pretty incredible when you scroll through these teams and you look at the ages, the amount of guys that are under the age of 23. I do think the Eagles are in a better position than the 49ers themselves just because they do have some talent, even though it's young talent that will develop a little bit. They played a very good Redskins team. I actually like the Redskins to come out of that NFC East division this year. I do think that they are a balanced team. The 49ers are in trouble, though.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Redskins, it's hard to tell how good they're going to be because they play the Eagles. Right. So the Eagles are so trash that I can't tell how good the Redskins are going to be, but they get tested tonight. So tonight they take on Dallas in what will be the matchup of the week, because the team that comes out of that will have two division wins and already been tested. If Dallas pulls that one off, you think, you know, you got to be riding pretty high on them because they've actually beaten the two teams that have some semblance of a team in that division, and you got to think that they're going to walk all over the Eagles twice for this year. If you're the Redskins, though, look, if you roll over Dallas, you got to feel really good about your offense, which put on a show against the Eagles.
The Redskins, I feel like, are a very balanced team, and that's why I like them going into this matchup. So clearly, you and I are going to disagree on who's going to win tonight.
Listen, I think it's Dallas.
That's why we play the games.
Listen, I think I think Dallas rolls. I think Dallas rolls on them, and I think that what happens is that the difference in defensive caliber from the Eagles to the Cowboys could not be bigger, and we're going to find out how big it is tonight. But can we circle back to my Bills for a minute, right? So Bills Mafia, right? We've been losers for a long, long time. We're just starting to win, and we won in week one, but it came on with an odd decision. You saw Jared Goff on the bench, who was sat for Danny Dimes. Now, as a Bills fan, I've turned on the game, and I'm thinking to myself, where the hell's Goff? He's only 24 years old. He's got an arm. He can play. And I'm screaming at the TV because Danny Dimes is turning the ball over left and right.
No, Danny Dimes turned into Danny turnovers. I mean, unless Goff was late to practice or he slept with the coach's wife, I don't know why he wasn't in the game. I can't explain it. Another guest spot that we need to bring somebody in for.
I don't know if he's saving him for the playoffs. I don't know what's happening here. Like
that is confidence if that's what's going on.
I'm telling you, I really can't understand why Danny Dimes. Maybe he's just a really big Giants fan who just owns the wrong franchise. Right, maybe he randomly selected the Bills, got stuck with them. You know, the franchise isn't going to like these moves, but, you know, that's where we're at right now. I don't know. We'll see how that goes. I think we move over, though, to the NFC North. And we got to talk about the Packers right now because the Packers have opened up 2-0. Lamar Jackson is living up to the hype right now, leading his team to a 2-0 spot. But it's interesting. It's coming at the expense of the Vikings, who they took down today, and your boy Sam Darnold is over there 0-2. And listen to this supporting cast that he's got Marshawn Lynch comes out of retirement to play for this team, he's got Mack, he's got White all at running back, he's got Thielen and Woods and Snead on the outside, and he's got Ertz at the tight end. And I looked up their O-line, and they are a top five O-line from what I can tell. And they start the season 0-2. This owner's got to really be thinking to himself, what am I going to do with this team?
Yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold, the inconsistency, right? It's the same thing that's in real life. That's going to hurt them, you know, as this season progresses here. They played a really good Packers team. I mean, just going through this lineup, they have a lot of talent here, the Packers. I think that this is another team that is going to come through and will be a team come playoff time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they can get it done with Darnold at the helm. I wonder if they try and trade for someone like a Drew Brees. Someone out there that can fill in or get to a spot. Or maybe even go out and get Goff, right? If Goff
is sitting, I like that.
If you're looking at a quarterback that's sitting the bench, that they're saying, hey, we don't really love this guy. You know, maybe he's the starter for you, and you go and get someone that you can say, he can be a game manager with all of this talent on the offensive side. You know, you got to think that maybe they can get it done with a different guy. And a team that looks a lot like that is probably the Rams. The Rams as well have a young quarterback in Haskins who I think is trash.
I'm not you gonna, and I are going to agree that Haskins is trash.
I think Haskins, or Haskins, I can't even say his name, is complete trash. But he gets Sonny Michel and Hopkins, right? You get Hopkins on the outside, and you got to ask yourself this question, Andrew. Is Hopkins going to make Haskins better, or is Haskins going to make Hopkins worse? Which one is it?
What you just said is the exact answer. Haskins is going to make Hopkins worse, and it's a shame because he's one of the most exciting players in the league.
And that's a problem, right? I think that Hopkins and Gallup and Burton, all these guys that are looking for the ball, are going to have a tough time getting it from Haskins. He did okay in his first outing, but I worry that Hopkins, he might be a guy at the deadline that's available. Because if you think about it, he's 28, 29, something like that, right? And if you don't have Haskins ready to go right now, how many more years do you have until he's ready? Maybe it takes three. Maybe you have to go out and rethink the QB position. But by the time that you get it right, Hopkins might not be the guy. He might not be the same guy that's ready to go. And I'll tell you what, Hopkins at the trade deadline, going to a team, that's a first round pick and more.
Yes, right?
There's a lot of value that you can get out of that. Now, look, he's not going to be thinking about that right now. Because he's 1-0.
And he's going to be thinking about it soon.
Give it a couple more games, and the Rams might be sellers. Right now, they're buyers. Another team, though, that they're going to need to look at what the decisions are going to be is the Cardinals, right? The Cardinals in that same division, think about this for an offense. You have Chubb in the backfield. You have Hill on the outside, and you go out and get the entire Alabama offense in Jerry Judge and CeeDee Lamb.
I'm pretty sure Nick Saban owns this team.
He's got to be a part owner, right? Like a minority share.
He's got shares.
He's got shares in this team for sure. O.J. Howard as well at tight end. And oh, by the way, the quarterback, Tua. Right? So the entire Alabama squad. I mean, this guy, he might live in Tuscaloosa, this owner, and work real close with the team. But the question really is, A, can Tua get it done? And B, does Tua even stay on the field?
I don't think Tua could play. You know, obviously he has the hip injury. He's got some stuff going on. That is a question mark. I hope he can because he's an exciting player. This team's going to be good in 10 years. You know, it's unfortunate the owner of this team's not going to be able to see it.
Yeah, it might take some time for them to get rolling. Until then, I think that you have enough to get to an 8-8, to get somewhere, but they're not going to be a team that's knocking for a championship this year with Tua and the way he's performed so far. And that's a pretty good wrap on the first 2 weeks of the season so far. But what I want to do is pop over to a couple of games in week three and say, who do you got, right? That's going to be our section right now is, who do you got in these two? And I'm going to rattle off a couple of names, Andrew, and you tell me, who do you got? And right. I think the first one's, you know, I think it's easy. Who do you got, Steelers or 49ers?
I have the Steelers and a lot of points in between that because the Steelers are great and the 49ers we just talked about, not so great.
All right, here's another matchup. You got the Giants and the Bucks. Giants, we just talked about them. They have Winston, right? They go away. They go to the Buccaneers who have Breeze, who's coming off of two losses, and he's at home against the Giants. That's a gettable win for either one. Does Tampa turn it around, or is New York victorious on what is now a team that, you know, they're going to be in a pretty tough spot being that old and 0-3?
I like Tampa. I think that they do get their first win here. I think Breeze does figure it out and turns it around here. He's too good not to.
We have the Ravens at the Chiefs. The Ravens are your team out of the AFC. Do you find them to break the tie that they have and actually get in the win column in week three? Or do the Chiefs take this at home?
No, that's the Ravens all day. Like I said, that's a great division with the Ravens and the Steelers there. I do like the Ravens in this one.
All right, last one. We got Bengals at the Bills, the ancient team of the Bengals versus the Bills who don't know who their best quarterback is at 8 o'clock tomorrow. Who do you got? It's in Buffalo.
I'm hoping the Bills general manager is listening to this podcast before that game starts. And if he does make that change, the Bills are going to win that game. If not, it's a toss-up.
Listen, from your lips to God's ears, because I'll tell you what, I'd love to see the Bills take down the first championship of DFA. Listen, that's a wrap from all of us here at Fair Catch and a Player One Media. So we'll talk to you guys soon, and let's get some more wins out there.
Pudding up!